We've started, we're on a journey over the coming few weeks, looking at the seven churches, looking at all the letters that were sent to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And as I said last week, we started last week looking at the whole concept where Jesus is challenging. He's coming back after Pentecost, about 60 years after Pentecost. He's coming back and he's saying, I have one more thing to say to the churches. And last week he was talking about their returning to that first love and wanting his people not to get carried away in their doings, in the things they do, but actually to say, I want you to get back to that place of connection with you. And so today we're looking again, I've asked Margaret to share with us this morning, so she's speaking. We are looking at the whole concept of faithfulness in suffering. And Jesus in this passage is saying, you are going to go through difficult time. Persecution is going to come. And so he's writing to this church and saying, I want you to get ready. He's giving them so that when you go through it, you're not going to say, God has forgotten me. I don't know about you. I do that. God prepares me for something. And when it does come, I feel like I'm all alone. I feel like pushed aside. And God is saying, I'm giving you this word when things are good so that when you go through it, you will not say, God has forgotten me. I'm going to pray for Margaret as she comes to bring the word. Just reach your hand. There's something that happens, you know, there has to be hunger in the pulpit and hunger in the congregation. Everybody expecting what God has to say to us today. Lord, we just thank you for Margaret. Thank you for her faithfulness, her openness, and her willingness to receive from you. Lord, I just pray that you will feel it right now with words that come from you. Father, less of her, more of you. Spirit of God, we pray that we will also, we pray for us as a congregation, Father, that we will be good souls this morning. We pray, Father, for a spirit of revelation of Jesus. Lord, that we may hear that which Jesus has to say to each and every one of us, as individuals and as a church. We pray, O God, that through that, may we be reaching you, Father. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Yeah.
The word that comes to the church is from John, who was on Patmos. It wasn't a lovely little island, that he was on holiday somewhere and he was resting and reflecting and had his Bibles around him and was, you know, okay about, oh yes, Lord, speak to me about this. He was actually on a 10 miles by 6 mile island, which was a penal colony. Which actually was, he was being persecuted for having preached the word of God. So the word that came to him, that was written, and that is the whole of Revelation, came to him whilst he was being persecuted himself on this island. I want to give you a little picture of Smyrna, which is the church that this letter, the church that this letter came to. It's the only place that actually exists today of those seven churches. It takes about 4 minutes. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things. Say the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. At the start of Revelation, John, as I said, John is given these messages for the seven churches which are in Asia. And he's given the messages, first of all, by Jesus, who comes and presents himself as the one who lives and was dead and is now alive forevermore. The message to the church of Smyrna starts with Jesus again saying that he is the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Now in the little clip of the video there, it was attributed to the fact that Smyrna had died as a city and been resurrected again. But I don't believe that that is actually the reason why Jesus said it. The reason why Jesus said it is, it was to remind the church there that he actually had suffered and that he had risen from the dead and that he knows the suffering that we're going through or that the church is going through in Smyrna at that time. He did no wrong, but was made to look as though he had done wrong for our sake, that he may overcome death. Acts 2:23-24, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. God knew Jesus was going to die. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Hebrews 2:14, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who were tempted. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has died and suffered and has overcome and died for our sin that we might live. Smyrna was a poor and a persecuted church located in a beautiful city that of wealth and commercial greatness and had a large Jewish population. Verse 9 says, I know your works. God knows. God knows. I know your works, your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. How many times do we feel that God doesn't seem to be aware of what we're doing? Or what we're going through? We say, if God knew what I was going through, he'd act in some way. If God knew I had to cope with this, God would give me a way to cope with it. We ask, where is God? But God knows, and God gives us the strength to go through. Even last week, I had a word that God gave me, that someone, whilst listening to the songs, had felt that God didn't give life. And God gave me that word for someone last week. So, 2012, God knows. 60 years after he rose from the dead, God knew. God knows. God knows what we're going through. He knows what we're going to go through. That is why he gives us this word. Am I prepared? Sorry. Am I prepared? Are you prepared? Are we prepared for what is going to happen? Though we do not like to hear this, Jesus says that persecution is to be expected. Matthew 10:22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. I've read these comments before and looked at them, that they said on the bottom of the Bible, and it says, you know, his disciples in their mission are going to face this. And I thought, I can see, yeah, what they're saying. It's going to be controversial. They're going to face it. Those disciples of Jesus's are going to face that. I've never thought of myself as a disciple of Jesus and that I will face it. I think, yes, this is reading about them then in Jesus's day. They're going to be persecuted, but I never think that I'm going to be persecuted. You know me, Margaret Leach, living in southeast London, April 2012. Go to work every day. I attend church. I pray. I suppose I pray when I remember or when I need to. You know, will I face persecution? Does this mean that I must be prepared to face persecution? It says, endured, hupamemo is the name, the Greek name, or the other name for endured, means to hold one's ground in conflict, bear up against adversity, hold out under stress, stand firm, preserve under pressure, wait calmly and courageously. It is not passive resignation in the face to fate and mere patience, but the active, energetic resistance to defeat that allows calm and brave endurance. James 1 says, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Jesus himself said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to be persecuted. I even find myself concerned that I might not even endure. Do I think that if I'm being persecuted now, that I would believe that it was for Jesus' sake? Sometimes I feel I'm being persecuted. Am I being persecuted for Jesus' sake? Am I living a life such that anyone would think I should be persecuted for Jesus' sake? All these thoughts pass through my head, but Jesus tells us that we need to be prepared for persecution and even death. Am I prepared for persecution? Are you prepared for persecution? Is my faith strong enough? Could I endure? My Saviour Jesus Christ did, even to the point of death. The church in Smyrna were, and Jesus knew that they were about to be persecuted and knows about those around the world who are being persecuted. We prayed for some of those today. God asks us to be faithful. Even though the Christians were poor financially in Smyrna, which was probably a result of a boycott, because most of the people in Smyrna at that time were wealthy and a large Jewish population that didn't like the Christian population, so it might have been, it's probably a result of a boycott from them being able to trade or earn money. And as soon as they find out that you're a Christian, you won't be able to trade. That happens today in Egypt. That happens today in the churches in Asia Minor. Lots of them. That happens today. Opposition for the Jews made life particularly difficult for the Christians in Smyrna. The Christians' official title was the Synagogue of the Lord. And there was the rising up against in the church, in the Jewish population. They didn't like what the Christians were saying. They didn't like the way they were what they were believing in. God knows the opposition we're going to face. Will be people laughing at us. Maybe people calling us names. It may be having laws restricting our choices. It may be imprisonment. It may be death. But the next verse, verse 10, says, "Do not fear. Jesus knows the wickedness and the falsehood of our enemies. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." We heard today about the persecuted church. David has spoken many times about the persecuted church and has a passion for them. Through this Open Doors, Christian Solidarity, and their newsletter Relay, maybe we consider the persecuted church to be them over there and not us. For suffering and persecution, even unto death, currently, this is how it is for the persecuted church. We need to keep praying diligently for those who are persecuted, because the battle is a spiritual battle. And we have to pray for our brothers and sisters, because they're affecting. We can affect them as they can affect us. So today, praying for the persecuted church was good, for those who are suffering for their belief in Jesus. In Corinthians, it says, in 2 Corinthians 4, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but are things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I liked the NIV version of this, which says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." What about the Message version of this? So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. The persecution will have a limit of 10 days, is what was told to the church at Smyrna. Thanks be to God. The crown of life will be given to us. James says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Hear what the Spirit says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 20. When I saw a grip, 20, verse 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Someone's face and the earth and the heaven just flies away. I can't imagine someone like that. That this earth and the heaven just fly away when his face comes. I just think, wow. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The second death is eternal separation from God. Blessed and holy is he who is part of the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. So what does this letter to the Church of Smyrna say to us today? Jesus says, I know what you're going to go through. He's been there. He's lived the life. He was man. And he's suffered, and he knows what it's like. He's been through it. He says, I know what's going to happen. That's why I'm telling you this. He says, do not fear. But at the very end it says, hear what the Spirit says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I used to get so annoyed when I used to read this. I used to think, for goodness sake, I've heard it. But it's actually it coming in and dwelling in my heart and enabling me to be prepared. Do I know from last week, Honesty's message was about the church at Ephesus that had lost its first love. I don't think that was a mistake, that was the first thing that the letter was about to a church, about losing their first love. If this is what's to come, we need to know our first love. We need to know who Jesus is and the foundations of how we believe and what we believe. We need to be so certain of it that someone's saying to me, oh, Jesus said such and such, and me thinking, I don't know the scriptures that well. I don't know. Did he say that? Did he not say that? Is that true what he said? Is it not true? I need to be so certain of Jesus and the love of Jesus that, you know, this can happen. I'm going to endure to the end. I cannot believe, Lord, I'm saying this. I cannot believe. One of my fears is that I won't endure to the end. I cannot believe God has given me this message to say, because it's just contradictory of what I've been feeling the whole of my life. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And 1 Peter 5, 6:11 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is a message that I think is very timely for us as a church and as individuals. Jesus is saying, get ready. Things are going to toughen up. If there was a modern preacher talking to the church, or myself talking to the church, I would come to you and say, we'll pray that the trouble go away. And some people, some churches might actually be saying to Jesus, you need to go to Bible college, because as Christians, when we have Jesus, things should be all good. And Jesus is bringing this message and he's saying, get ready. Things are going to go difficult. Yes, I know they've taken your money. I know they've taken your resources. I know what they've done. I know the tribulations. I know what has happened to you. I know. That word know speaks of intimacy with God. It speaks that God understands everything that you're going through. And so Jesus is saying, I'm not removed from what you're going through. I know where you are right now. I know what's happening in your world. I know how much you have lost. And maybe you have lost it because of being faithful. And Jesus is saying, I know. And I think it's a word for somebody this morning, that Jesus is saying, I know where you are. I know what's happening. I don't know about you, sometimes the more you try to do the right things, and the more you actually find everything start crumbling down. And so Jesus is saying, if you look at Christian life from a worldly or westernized worldly perspective, where it says that to be spiritual, it means you have everything. To have everything means that God is blessing you. He's saying, you got to look it another way around. If you are a servant of God, Jesus is saying, you can actually be in the will of God and have nothing, and have everything taken away from you. This is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you can actually walk in the perfect will of God and have your whole life stripped away from you, your whole life taken away from you. And so Jesus is saying to this church, I want you to be faithful when trouble comes. I want you to remain standing when persecution comes. Standing? For how long? Whatever, however long it takes, even to the point of death. And he says some of you are going to be thrown in prison. And just the fact of others being thrown in prison, that's going to cause distress on the whole body of Christ. They're all going to be persecution, you know, because we are all connected together. And so when one suffers, we all suffer. So if the persecutor were to come here today and maybe shoot one of us, I don't know, all of us will feel the pain. All of us will feel the pain. And Jesus is saying, that's what's going to happen. But I want you to remain faithful. I want you to hold on to the end. He says, I do not want you to give in to fear, to say maybe it's his fault, it's her fault, it's this person. I want you to know you are in the perfect will. These things will happen. Remain standing. So perhaps what you're going through in your world, you look at your life and you see things upside down. And you feel that maybe God has forgotten me. You feel perhaps that maybe God has turned his back on you. I want to remind you this morning, you are where you are because God has put you there. And the Bible says that we will not go through anything without the strength or the grace to go through it. In other words, he gives us the grace to face whatever comes our way. There is nothing that will come my way that God does not give me the grace to face. That causes me to say amen. Amen. Shall we stand? Let's stand. So he says that, I know you're poor. I know you say you're poor. They've taken everything from you. But Jesus say, I am the first. I am the source. I am the one at the beginning. If I am the first, I must be God. And he says, I am the last. I am at the other side of it. I see the whole story. I see your story, the story of your life. I hold it all together. I stand from an advantage point of view. And I see that it all ends very well. You are in good hands. You are rich. Amen. You're poor now. You may be poor in this world, but you are rich in God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we confess that we get blown about by troubles, situations. And as a church, we go through seasons when we are going through difficulty. And we feel that, God, you've turned your back on us. And yet, Lord, sometimes and very often you are there with us. Father, help us to see. Help us to develop a healthy relationship with you. Father, where we know the perfect will and plan that you have for us. Help us to unlearn the whole concept that, Lord, when we are in your perfect will, everything will go 100% perfect. Father, help us to know that sometimes in your perfect will, we will go through difficult times, difficult situations that will squeeze us and cause us to be depressed and oppressed and affected by situations. Lord, I pray for faithful hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, stamp on our hearts, Lord, that verse that says you are rich, rich in God. Father, let it be on our hearts this morning that we will go out knowing, Lord, that it will be our desire to invest, O God, to walk as people who are rich in their God, people who are not blown about by every shifting wind. Help us, Father, to know that you have not forgotten us, that you have us where you want us to be. Lord, that you understand where we are. You know what we're going through. We ask you, Father, to be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If there's somebody that needs prayer, maybe just holding on. Maybe you're just holding, clinging with the tips of your fingers in your situation. And we're going to just pray together and ask God, Lord, stamp that says I am rich in God. Not in material things. They have taken everything away from me. I want to be rich in you, the living God. If it's you, maybe in your genuine faith, because troubles and situations have caused your life to shrivel. And Jesus is saying, I want you to walk in the newness of life that I give you. I see the end story. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the source, the beginning and the end. I hold the whole future in my hands. You are in good hands, church. You're in good hands. Amen.